We're holding on Gimelumet Aleph towards the second line from the bottom. We learned the Mishnah told us that when a person brings a get from Medina Sayyam, which we said basically means Chutz La'aretz, we have several different ways, Machlokes in the Mishnah, what exactly is included in Medina Sayyam, you have to be able to declare B'fanim Nechtem, B'fanim Nechtem. It was written in my presence and it was signed in my presence by the Eid. And we were discussing, the Gemara had brought two different reasons why. Rabbah had said because the Bate Dinim in Chutz La'aretz are not necessarily Baki in the din of Lishma, or not Baki, or Tosfos said they don't hold of it, whatever, the din that a get has to be written with the husband, with the specific husband and wife in mind. By saying, Rufana Nechta, he takes care of that. Either, like Rashi says, you ask him, or like Tosfos says, you assume that it says Rufana Nechta, that everything else is Kosher V'Yasher. Rav had said the reason is because in case the get gets challenged, in case the husband is ma'arer on it, you need edim available to be able to certify it, that these are the signatures of the, that these are the actual signatures of these people, and it's not forged. And from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, you don't have enough people traveling to make that possible. Whereas within Eretz Yisrael, there's people always going to and fro. So we discussed
all the shliach afterwards.
No, not the shliach. If the shliach says we'll find him next time. What that's enough. We said that therefore now if the husband is going to go challenge and say I didn't send the shliach, we're not going to believe him.
The Beis Din will not believe him.
Right. So now the question is, according to Rabba, who says that the reason why you have to say b'fanim nechtam, is because we're concerned that the Beis Din that supervised this in Chutz La'aretz, or whoever it is that wrote it, is not necessarily a get done in the presence of Beis Din. Usually it is, but not necessarily, but whatever, whoever did it in Chutz La'aretz may not be familiar with the concept of Lishma. Then the question becomes, man haytana deboy ksiv Lishma, or boy chasim Lishma? Well, in that case, then, which Tana is it that requires that both the writing and the signing have to be Lishma? We say the Mishnah is saying you have to make both declarations, B'fanim Nechtav and B'fanim Nechtav, which implies that, according to Rabba, we're concerned about both those things, that the writing may not have been done Lishma, the signing may not have been done Lishma. Which Tana is it that says that both of those things need to be done? Either Meir, if you say it's according to the Meir, he says the main thing in the shtar is the signature. Therefore, he says the signature has to be lishma. The writing does not have to be. Meaning, everybody agrees there has to be something in a get lishma because the pasuk says v'chasav loch sefer krisus, and loch means lishma. The question is, what's considered for this purpose the ksiva? What's considered the v'chasav loch? Is it the actual body text of the get, or is it the signature is on the bottom? But Meir holds that that's for the signatures. The body of the get itself does not have to be written Lishma. So therefore, the sefer does not have to write it Lishma. It just has to be signed Lishma. So then it should be enough for him to say, B'fanin Nechtav, that it was signed in my presence. Sitchinan, as we know this because we learn in a Mishnah later on, in the second parish, Ein Koistrin L'chob L'kak, you're not allowed to write a get on something that's attached to the ground. And the reason for that is, we'll talk about it later when we get to it, but the Rashi says over here the reason is because the pasuk says, v'chotav l'sefer krisus v'nosan v'yodah. He writes the get and hands it to her, which implies there doesn't have to be anything else between the writing and the handing it to her, as opposed to detaching it from the ground where there is. And there's a different limud, I think, that they bring from the Yerushalmi, that because the pasuk says sefer krisus and sefer implies something that's attached from the ground, whatever the exact thing is. The point is, you know, let's write a get on something attached to the ground. What if you wrote the text of the get on something attached to the ground? Tolsho, then you pulled it out of the ground. And then you signed it and gave it to her. Kosher. Then a mayor would say it's kosher, because as long as the chasima was done once it's detached from the ground, we don't care how the writing. Now, the Mishnah is still saying you shouldn't do it while it's attached to the ground. Why? Because you may forget and sign it while it's attached to the ground also. You have, let's say, a leaf on a tree, for example. In principle, a get can be written on anything, as we'll learn.
Isn't it two machlokes? One for the lishma, and the other one that's mechubar?
No. We're saying, because your mayor holds that the essence of the get is the signatures, and that's what has to be done lishma, for that reason, he also says that the din of whether it has to be mechubar or not really only applies to the signatures. Nidirabonon, we don't want you to write it on something attached to the ground, like a tree or whatever, and only then chop it off, because you may forget and have the Adim sign it while it's attached to the ground also, and according to the mayor, that will, at that point, it will be possible. But b'diavad, if you wrote it on something attached to the ground, then you're fine.
But even if you forget, it doesn't mean that you wrote it attached, which
is... No, if you forget and sign it, no, that's the thing. There are two different things. Among the ten basic prerequisites for a gift that the Rambam lists are that it has to be l'shma, and it can't be written on something attached. So both of those things, whatever part of a gift, one of them applies to, the other one applies to, because these are all dinim that we learn from the words in the Torah, b'chatzav l'sefer krisis.
Right, so that's what I'm saying, they're not connected.
No, they are connected, because if we say according to the mayor that the text of the get, the tofus and the Torah, we'll talk about those terms as we go later on in the Sefer, if according to the mayor those can be written while it's still attached to the ground, it's only the abundant we don't want you to, so you may forget and sign it, then that means, by the same token, he would say that part doesn't have to be written in the Shema either. The same rules that apply to the rules that apply as far as attached or detached from the ground also apply to the Shema or not the Shema.
Something that's attached cannot be the Shema.
No, it's not. If it's attached, if you can write, if you're allowed to write it on something attached to the ground, then that means that same part that you're allowed to write on something attached to the ground, that same part you're also allowed to write on something attached or detached, doesn't matter, not l'shma.
Sure, the
connection is because those are two of the ten dinim about a get, which we learned from the Pesukim b'chos of l'sefer krisis. So if a mayor is saying in that Mishnah, if he says that if you did write the body text of the get on a tree attached to the ground, and then you chop down the tree, and then the Edom signed it, then it's a kosher get. What that means is your mayor is saying the essence of the get is the signatures. Only the signatures have to be done detached from the ground, therefore only the signatures have to be done l'shma. Because it's part of the same set of rules.
I understand, but my question is, who says that even if...
That's what we're saying.
Even if the signatures were done when it's attached,
that would be possible.
But it could still be l'shma.
Doesn't matter whether it's l'shma. You need all ten. You need all ten things to be in a get for it to be kosher. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So therefore, so according to the mayor, then it comes out that you should only have to say b'fanei nechtem. There shouldn't be any need to say b'fanei nechtem. The ear of a lazer, or you're going to say it's according to the lazer. He would say the other way around. He would say that the writing is the essential thing, the signing is not. Namely, this is actually a wide-ranging machlokas that we're going to have off and on throughout the Masechta. It's like this. A get has, when you write a get, you have witnesses signing it on the actual shtar of the get. You also have that when the get is handed to the wife, or to her shliach, as the case may be, that's also done in the presence of Edim. So you have Edi Chasima, the ones who sign the get, and you have Edi Mesira, the ones who are observing when the get is being handed over. Which ones of them are the essential ones? This is a machlokas that we're going to have throughout the Masechta called Edi Chasima Kauti. Is it the Edi Chasima that create the krisus, that create the separation between the husband and the wife? Or is it Edi Mesira Kauti? Is it the Edim that are watch it being handed over? What we're saying is, according to the mayor, Edi Chasima Kauti, the Edi Chasima are the essential thing. Therefore, you must have the Edim are signed in the Shtar, and they must be signed L'shma, etc. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't matter, even if there's no signatures at all, it's a kosher to get, as long as you have Edim Mesira, because Edim Mesira that are kauti, that are the ones who do the cutting off of the relationship. So therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, there should only be a need to say b'fanei nechtem, not b'fanei nechtem. The Chitemus, you might answer L'olam Rabbi Elazar. You see, you might argue, okay, maybe our Mishnah, according to Rabbah's reason, is according to Rabbi Elazar, but V'chi loy boy Rabbi Elazar chasim l'shma midaraita, midrabbanan boy. Fine, you would argue, maybe Rabbi Elazar would say, fine, midaraita, the signature is not have to be l'shma, maybe midrabbanan they do, and therefore we would say that midrabbanan, we're also going to want to say, we're going to want you to say b'fanei nechtem, besides b'fanei nechtem, which he says you'd have to do minatara, to make sure that the writing of the get was done l'shma, he might say midrabbanan, the same rabbanan who said that you have to sign it, also say, l'shma, also say that therefore you have to say b'fanei nechtem. The problem with that is, we see that there's three cases of gittin that are possible midrabanan, which we'll learn later on in the Masechta, towards the end of the Masechta, and we see that among those is a case where Rabbi Elazar does not say that even midrabanan you need signatures l'shma. The Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah in the last parak, gimel gittin psulin. There are three kinds of gittin that are possible, but the existence of lad kosher. But yet, if the woman did get one of these kinds of gifts in and remarried, then v'di'eved, her children are not, v'di'eved, it's fine, since they're kasher mideraita, we're not going to go so far. The Gemara is going to discuss over there. We'll get to the question, do we force her to divorce her second husband? But even according to the opinion that we do, we don't go so far as saying that any children that she had with him are mamzerim.
Because
these gittin are only also mideraban. Now, we'll see what the three gittin are, but that's the point. In other words, if it was a get that was possible mideraisa, or most cases of gittin that are possible mideraban, then the din is peisei v'avlad mamzer, divorce her second husband, and any children are mamzerim. But Tosfos points out over here that the Chachamim, when they made the takana, these three gittin that we're going to list, apostle, they also, along with that, made the takana that it, we're going to accept those from the usual rule and not make the vlad mamzer because of it. So what are they? The Tinan, we learn in the Mishnah. Yeah, so Gimel, this is the vlad kasher. Number one, kasa b'chsav yadav ein al eidim. Number one, if it's written in the husband's own handwriting, but there's no witnesses signed on it.
It's possible, but...
Again, if she did use it to remarry, then v'di'evet, the children are kosher, yeah. It could be written by the husband. It still needs eidim on it. We're going to get to when we get it's primarily in the last parak when we have this mishnah. The Gemara is going to have a wide-ranging discussion of what exactly we're dealing with over here. The Tosfos briefly refers to it over here. There's a lot of different possibilities what we're dealing with over here, but let's not get into that right now. Number two, Yeshal of Eidim Ve'en Beisman. Number two, if the get has witnesses signed on it, but there's no date written on the shtar, which we'll learn later on the second paragraph, the reason why the Chachamim made a takana, there has to be a date on a get. And number three, Yesh Beisman Ve'en Ve'ela Eidim Echad. If it has a date, but there's only one aid signed on it, which Rashi says that actually what we're talking about over here is that you have a sofer wrote it, not the husband himself. So the sofer himself, his handwriting of the body of the get, can count effectively as one aid. The other one counts as a second, and then you're good. Tosfos mentions that the Gemara there discusses the question, does it have to be that way, or could it be that the husband wrote the get himself and you only have one aid on it? Whatever, again, let's not get into that right now. Harei of the shloisha gittim sulin, so those are three gittim which are all possible to drop on them. Vim, this is a vlad kosher, but yet if she gets married, if she remarries, then the child is kosher. Rabbi Elazar, I remember. Because we don't want to make the children mamzerim. So again, normally we're going to say kol mashanim mevayesh kavah chachamim, that if you do differently than the takanas of the chachamim, then we're going to say havlat mamzer. But in these three cases, we make an exception.
Is there a reason why, or the life cases? Well, that's
sort of what it is. Because in each one, there's more reason to say that it's a kosher to get. There's kind of each one of them is missing one detail. So actually, now that I think of it, one of the mafarshim says, one of them, I don't remember which one now, says the reason is because if you have there's something missing in the get which is common to all shtaros, then fine. You know, we're gonna pass with it. But if it's something that only l'chatchila needs to be in other shtaris, or that only needs to be in a get, then we're still going to pass over, but not to the extent of making a vlad mamzer or something like that. Anyway, that's the Tanna Kamma over there, Rameir. And Rav Elazar Omer, no, afal pi she'ein olav eidim, no, even if there's no eidim signed on the get, elisha nafnin olav fnei eidim, but he just gave it to her in the presence of eidim, kosher, then the get is actually kosher. The goyim and which when we say that he says kosher, so Rashi says evidently then what would he be arguing with the chachamim and with the Tanna Kamma? The Tanna Kamma himself is saying that it's possible midaraisa, that's kosher midaraisa. It's only possible midrabanan. If Rabbi Elazar is arguing with that, necessarily he must be saying it's even mutter midrabanan, which goes back to our original thing that Rabbi Elazar would say that even midrabanan, you wouldn't say that you need chasim lishma because according to him even midrabanan you don't need chasim at all as long as you have eidim mesira. Rabbi Akiva Eger in Gilyon Ashas learned it differently. He says that if Rabbi Elazar meant that it's possible with chila, he shouldn't say kosher. He should say avlad kosher. He should say avlad kosher. The fact that he says kosher implies that he means that even with chila is kosher. Anyway, and he continues. For goyim and nechassim b'shabadim, once a woman has such a get, she will be able to collect even from nechassim b'shabadim. So what does that mean? Rashi gives two explanations. One is it means she'll be able to take this get and use it as a basis for collecting her ksuba, and she'll be able to collect even from the chasim mishabadim, even from property that her husband had sold during the time when they were married, because it's a valid enough get for that purpose. Then Rashi brings a second explanation, which is where the shtar and the chasim mishabadim over here, we're not actually talking about the get, we're actually talking about other kinds of shtaris. Any other kind of shtar that has one of these things wrong with it, nevertheless, you'll still be able to collect from the chasim mishabadim. We're not talking about a get. That's Rashi's second explanation. And Tosfos says that Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim say they prefer that explanation. Anyway. Because Rabbi Elazar says the whole reason why the Edim sign on a get is only the whole signatures of the Edim is only midrabanan tikkun olam in order to keep things running smoothly. Namely, Rashi says, what happens? Suppose that the Edim die, and then the husband wants to object. This is an invalid get. Like this, if you had only Edim Asira, if those Edim Asira die or go to Medina Sayam or whatever, then she's stuck. If you have witnesses in the document, then at least you have a way of being mekayev. If you have a way of bringing other people to base them to certify those signatures or recognizing it based on other documents they've signed or whatever, yeah. So therefore, so we see Rabbi Elazar does not hold you need a signature on a get even midrabanan. You only need it if they tikkun olam. You certainly don't need it. The point is, and it's not at the weaker midrabanan, but the point is, even when the rabbanan are saying they need to sign it, does not say anything about them signing the lishma. The Chachamim said, "If they took an olam, they have to sign it. Doesn't mean it has to be signed l'shma. As long as the get was written l'shma, it's good enough. Because you have Edim Asira, and Edim Asira, Kauti, according to Rabbi Elazar. So we're back to the question. So who would rather say our Mishnah goes like? It doesn't seem to go when it says that you need both the Ksiva and the Chassima to be done l'shma, which is the effect of saying l'fanei nechtem, l'fanei nechtem. Neither one seems to say that. Okay, let's try another possibility. The Elder Mayor here. Maybe let's go back to that it's your mayor, that's according to your mayor, v'chilei boi r'meir k'siva l'shma midaraisa midrabanan boi. That's fine, you can make the same argument as we tried to do with Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Meir would say that midaraisa, the body of the get, is not have to be written l'shma, but midrabanan it does, and therefore maybe midrabanan we're going to make him say b'fanan yechtev as well. No, v'amar Rabbi Nachman, oimer hoyer Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nachman says, Rabbi Meir used to say, abdulim motzei v'ashpa, even if you found a get in a trash heap, with the names and everything written in it, and you signed it and gave it to her kosher. It's still a kosher to get because the body of the get does not have to be written l'shma. As long as it has the proper names in it or whatever, then fine. So obviously the question is, fine, so you still might argue, you know what, okay, but Rav Nachman is only saying that a mayor would say that's kosher midaraisa. He still might argue it's not kosher midrabanan. The problem with that is, if that's what it means, what do you mean, I'm a hoyer a mayor? What do you mean, just that a mayor says that this is how it is? He should say, Dvar Torah, me boy, like, he should say, I'm a hoyer a mayor, Dvar Torah. That a mayor says, me not Torah, it's good enough even if you find them in the trash. Midrabanan, we don't want you to do that, we want you to write the body of the get, but we want you to write the text of the get, l'shma. The fact that he doesn't say that, and the reason why he would have to say that, Rav Nachman being an Amora has to explain things. Rav Nachman being an Amora has to explain things because after the time of the Amoraim, we don't have a full transmission of Torah Sheval Peh anymore. That's from the time. That's why everyone after the time of the Gemara has to follow what it says in the Gemara because we don't have the same level of Masorah. So Rav Nachman has to clarify that we shouldn't misunderstand Rav Meir to be saying that Midrabanan is kosher if that's what he meant. Obviously, if he's just saying without saying Dvar Torah, he obviously means that Rav Meir would hold his kosher even Midrabanan.
What does it have to do with finding it in the garbage indicating that it's not original?
Well, obviously, if you find it in the garbage, it means somebody wrote it for practice, let's say, or somebody wrote it, let's say, Yossel wrote it to divorce his wife, Rachel, and then he decided, you know what, never mind, I changed my mind, he threw it away. Another Yossel was married to another Rachel, finds it, etc. Or Rasofa was writing it for practice, and whatever. Yeah. Ella, so no, so that doesn't work either. Elam Olam Rav Elazar. He said, no, let's go back to the possibility that according to Rabba, we would say our Mishnah goes according to Rav Elazar. We could say like this, V'chilei boi Rav Elazar chasima. You know what? You're saying that Rav Elazar does not really require signatures in a get, not midaraisa at all, and even Rabbanan is only a chicken olam. But, heicha deleka edim klal. That is where there's no edim written in the get at all. Then Rav Elazar says, fine, Edim is still a county, and therefore I don't really care whether there's Edim written in the shower at all, in the get at all. But if there is going to be Edim signed in the shower, then they do have to sign the Shema, Rav Elazar might say. Why do Amar Rabba? Moedir Rav Elazar, the Mizuyach, Mitocha Shul Pasol. Rav Elazar would agree if you have a get which is forged from the text itself, mitocha means from the text itself. You can see that it's forged, so that it's untrue, that's invalid. True, possible. That such a get would be possible. Meaning, well, I mean, there's There's different examples in halacha of mezuzah mitosa in many different cases. In our case over here, the point is, if there has to be edim and a get, and they're not signing lishma, that's worse than there not being any edim at all. If there's going to be edim, they have to sign lishma. But if there's no edim, fine, there's no edim. But you can't have that the actual body of the get itself contains a falsehood, namely that they signed and it's not lishma. Better not to have edim than to have false ones, basically. So Tosfos deals with the question, what's mezuzah mitosa? I mean, mezuzah mitosa would be, for example, if the edim are actual posula edim. Let's say, for example, you had psula edus, the relatives or whatever, sign, that would be an example of mezuzah mitosa. Why is it mezuzah mitosa if they sign shelo lishma? So Tosfos talks about the idea that still you might have Tosfos says that actually it's gzeira.
He doesn't agree with that.
Well, so Tosfos says it's actually gzeira. When we say over here mezuzah mitochai, what we mean is we're making a gzeira. We don't want the edim to not sign lishma, because then what may happen is the writing may not be done lishma either. They may confuse and say, if you can do one not lishma, you can do the other not lishma, and that would be a possible get. Because of get, you know, that where the body is not written lishma, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's possible. That's what we mean by mezuzah mitochai. Not that there's an actual falsehood in it, but that allowing the edim to sign the shelo lishma is likely to lead to the writing of the get shelo lishma, and that would be mezuzah mitochai. There's a lot of other explanations that various Rishonim have. The Rif has an interesting explanation. He says that when Rabbi Elazar says edim esir kauti, he doesn't mean only edim esir. He means you need both. You need edim chasima and edim esir, and therefore midaraisa. He says, in fact, therefore, if you have edim that are signed in the shtar, not lishma, that's mezuzah mitochai. That's a falsehood right there in the body of the get.
How would that be not signed up as not lishma?
Signed to not lishma means exactly that. For example, the edim were brought a piece of paper, signed this, and they don't know who the husband is. They don't know who.
But after they start writing, we'll get up.
No. I mean, you could have, yeah, Tosfos talks about a possibility. You could have edim sign a blank piece of paper and then you write again. Yeah, that's a rare case. I mean, if you get people to sign a blank sheet of paper, you could write anything. You could write that they owe you $1 million, you know. But no, we're talking about a case. I mean, we're talking about that they sign the get, but they don't know the people who is being written. They don't know the names of the people. They don't know who it's being written on behalf of, whatever. That's shelo lishma. Or maybe they don't even realize the get, let's say. You know, here, I'm collecting signatures for a petition. Will you sign? You know, and they don't realize that it's a gift, you know. That's shelo lishma. So anyway, so there's the Rif's idea that midoraisa, you need both edi mesira and edi chasima, and therefore edi chasima that are not lishma are no good. A bunch of other Rishonim arguing with that on various grounds, but the Rashba brings another possibility that, okay, maybe midoraisa you don't need both sets of edim, but midrabanan you do, because suppose you have a case where, for whatever reason, edim and sira are not available, then you're going to have to fall back on the edi chasima in order to validate the get. Therefore, you want them to, or maybe there may be a case where there weren't even edim and sira at all, where whatever, I don't remember the exact scenario that he mentions, but whatever, you may have to fall back on the edi chasima to for it to be a kosher to get. And then in that case, they definitely have to be the shema.
You know, so it has to be,
and this is shown in Chutzlar, it's as far as Rufana Nechtem. The din of Lishma applies everywhere. It's just according to Rabba, in Chutzlar, that they may not be as familiar with this. Therefore, we have to be able to declare Rufana Nechtem, which amounts to saying it was done Lishma.
If you have Aedis, and the Aedis are Chutzlar, if you don't know who they are, he can't do it.
But fine, well, that's the point. In other words, that was the reason why we said before why you need the shliach to say Rufana Nechtem, which is the equivalent of validating those signatures. Now, at that point, the husband can't object. These are forged signatures.
It becomes an
Eidach. It becomes an Eidach. We talked yesterday because an Eidach on them. And we sorted Mishnah. We go on, et cetera. Yeah.
That's a different issue.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so therefore, we could say that, yes, according to Rabba, it comes out then. If according to Rabba, it would come out, we could say that according to Rabba Elazar, you do need both the Ksiva and the Chasima to be done the Shema. Therefore, you need to say, Fana Nechta, you need to address both things. Ravashi, Amar Hamani, Rabbi Yehuda. Ravashi gives a different answer. You could say that our Mishnah, according to Rabba, goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. You have a third Tana who deals with this. Yitznan, as we learn in As we learn in the Mishnah, later on in the Masechta, and then in the next parak, Rabbi Yehuda posel, Achtek Sivat Vachsimah Sivatolosh. We learned before about the case where the get is written while attached to the ground and then detached and signed, where the mayor said that it is kosher, because Midaraisa, all you need is the signatures to be done while it's detached. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's possible unless both the writing and the signatures were done while it's detached. Which means Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, would say that all the 10 dinim that apply to a get apply to both the body of the get and the signatures. So therefore, the rule of Lashma, no, Midaraisa, you say, Midaraisa. Therefore, he would say the Lashma rule also applies to both. But if the Lashma rule applies to both Midaraisa, then you need Bufana Nechta, Bufana Nechta. You need to certify both.
If it's being written, everything is being done by this attached thing, or Mechla Lashma, everyone is...
No, that's, you're asking the same question that he did. Writing attached to the ground doesn't necessarily mean it was done Lashma or not. These are two different potential problems you can have with a get. But the point is, if we say you're allowed to write it attached to the ground, that's the equivalent of saying that the writing does not have to be done l'shma, because it means that none of the 10 dinim apply to that part of the get. And if you say that the writing cannot be done attached to the ground, then it will be possible if it is. It means that all the other 9 dinim, including l'shma, also apply to that part.
They go together.
Yeah.
Well, you second one out to take that
right.
One out.
Tosfos, by the way, says kind of a funny thing over here. Why does Rabbi Yehuda have to mention the writing and the signature are done while it's detached? That once it's written detached, then the signature necessarily is also going to be once it's detached from the ground. As the Tosfos mentioned, because the signatures come afterwards. Tosfos gives kind of a funny situation. Imagine you take a tree that's detached from the ground, you write out the get on it, then you plant the tree, and have the agent sign it while it's planted. Rabbi Yehuda would say that's possible also. So therefore he has to specify the both of them. Incidentally, you know, at the beginning of the Masechta, Tosfos had mentioned the idea that the minhag is to write a get on 12 lines, no more, no less. We talked about the gematria of the word get, etc. So one thing is, before I should ask the question, why did the Chacham have to make a specific number of lines for a get anyway? However many lines, it comes out to be.
And they're giving it a small name, the biggest thing.
Yeah, they give an interesting answer, because suppose that you were to take a large sheet of parchment or paper or whatever and start writing out the get, and not bend it. Then you think of a get in a kosher, that's a whole different thing. So you take, let's say, a large sheet of paper, you start writing out the get. At the end, you realize, you know what, after writing out the whole get and the signatures and everything, we have a lot left. You're going to chop off that rest of the paper. You're going to have the problem of mechubar, if it's attached. But attached doesn't just mean attached to the ground. It means attached to the original thing it came from. Later on, the second paragraph, we'll talk about cases where you write a get, for example, on the side of a cow that you have to give her the whole cow in order for it to be a kosher get. So similarly here, you'd have to give her the whole sheet of parchment. So in order to avoid that, Chacham gave a standard number of lines, and that way you'll know to have a standard size of parchment in the first place.
The writing has to go with the paper.
So anyway, so Rav Ashi says, very simple, you could say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Tosfos points out, I mean, other Mepharshim point out, in our Mishnah, you have Rabbi Yehuda argues about the borders of Eretz Yisrael, Mevek and Lemizrach, etc., so he's not fully agreeing with the Tanakhana, but okay, at least as far as the Bufana Nechtim, Bufana Nechtim issue, they may agree. They disagree on details of the borders. So the question is, fine, why did we have to kvetch to try to think the Mishnah is either according to a mayor or according to a Balazar? If we knew all this time Rabbi Yehuda's opinion exists, why do we need to wait till Rav Ashi comes and tells us, you know what, it could be like Rabbi Yehuda? The answer is, Madrin and not a mayor, we would prefer to say that our Mishnah goes like a mayor, the Stam Mishnah isn't a mayor, because your Stam Mishnah is usually like a mayor. And Mahadrin and Rabbi Lazar, and we would prefer to say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Lazar, the Kaimalon Hilchot HaKavaseh Begitzin, because we know that as far as this particular detail, that if there's no witness to sign in a get, it's kosher, the halacha is like him in Gittin. And before we should talk about, does it mean only in Gittin, or does it mean in other shtaris as well? But because we know the halacha is like him, as far as that detail, that the edim do not have to be written in the get for it to be kosher, it's only in Tikkun Olam, the Chachamim said, therefore that's the reason why we prefer to say the mission goes like him. Not like Rabbi Yehuda, where you have neither of those things. Usually if a mission is like Rabbi Yehuda, it should say so, and the halacha is not like him.
And Rosa says
you have to have Edim when it's being handed over.
And you have to also Fanechta
Fanechta? Everybody says you have to say Fanechta Fanechta. And the question is, why? In the case of our Mishnah, when we're talking about a get being brought from Medina Sayam, practically speaking, you need signatures anyway, because otherwise the guy may have just forged it. But we're talking about a point of a law, so if you're bringing a get within Eretz Yisrael itself, no signatures are needed, except Mitzvah Tikkun Olam. But if you bring it from Chutzlar, yeah, of necessity you need signatures, not so much because it's an essential part of the get, because Chumran Tam is not, but just because otherwise you have no way of proving that the get itself is genuine and not stam forged, because people can forge a get, people can write a get, you know, get is not
so
written.
In
Eretz Yisrael, you can. In Eretz Yisrael, you can. You have Edim. Again, you have Edim Asira. You're going to have Edim when the get is handed over.
Well, if there's
any problems, if the husband comes and says, "I never gave that get," we can bring those Edim Asira, and we can always find those Edim.
Yeah,
from Kolo to Yoda, yeah, whatever, if need be. That's what we're assuming. We're going to talk about later on. We're going to get into it more on the days. But yeah. Earlier the Gemara, thought actually that maybe Shayaris do not usually go from Yehuda to Galil. That was why we said one difference between Rabba and Rava would be according to Rava's reason. If you bring from Galil to Yehuda or vice versa, you would have to say Gufana Nechta, Gufana Nechta. So the Gemara is going to revisit that later on in the day. Wait. Okay, so now let's look at what the Mishnah continues. Rav Gamliel lo ma'afa maybe min a rekum min a cheger. We had with the Tanakhama said I maybe get them din a seyam. Rav Gamliel says also somebody who brings a get from rekum or cheger, various border towns in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Eliezer ma'afa min kfar ludim to lud. And Rav Eliezer says even from kfar ludim to lud, which are relatively close. So v'omer Rabaya by yoris asmuchas l'Eretz Yisrael mevloris b'tchum Eretz Yisrael askinim. What we're dealing with over here, this that we're talking about, Rekim and Cheger, and what it is, so there's two things. There's smuchos, they're close to Eretz Yisrael, and they're mevloris. The border goes around them. So Rashi explains that, for example, in the Torah, when the Torah lists the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it lists it in terms of cities. The border goes from Chatzarein to Shvam, and from Shvam to Rivla, etc. How does the border go? Is it a straight line? Is it a curved line? It follows the road. There's a road from Chatzarein to Shvam, for example. It follows that road. It follows the road from there to Rivla, etc. Suppose that the road curves, as they often do. You may have a town that's inside that curve, which therefore is Muvla. If you were to draw a straight line from this part of the border to this part of the border, it would be within the line of Eretz Yisrael, but it's outside. It's out because the border curves around it. That's what we mean. So smuchas means it's close by. Mavlois means that it's within a straight. If you were to draw the border with a straight line, it would be within. No, so that's the thing. Wait. So in other words, what we have is like this. Rabbi Gamliel is saying that the Tanakhama is saying Medina Sayam, which implies only cities that are far away from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Gamliel is adding even Rekem and Cheger, which are smuchas, which are close to Eretz Yisrael. They're not Mavlois. They're not Mavlois. There's no, the border doesn't curve around them, but they're smuchas. They're right next to Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Eliezer is adding even Mavlois, even Kfar Ludim, where the borders of Eretz Yisrael surrounded on several sides, and if it sticks out over there, then nevertheless, you still have to say b'fana nechta from that to Lud. And by the way, v'omer Rabbi Baba Chana, l'didi chazi li'ahu asher, Rabbi Baba Chana says, I saw that area, the place between Kfar Ludim and Lud. It was the same distance as there is in Babel from Beit Kuvi to Pumbedisa. How far is that? So there's a Rashi in Sukkah that says that is 6 parsois. A parsa is 2.5 miles, so you're talking something like 15 miles. A bunch of Mephoshim in Sukkah and over here also have problems with that figure on various grounds. One of them is because there's more. Well, a bigger problem is the Gemara mentions in Sukkah that Abaya used to sleep the time it takes to walk from Beit Kuvi to Pumbedisa, and Rabba criticized him for it. If it's the time it takes to walk 6 parsois, you're talking a huge amount of time. He slept away a good chunk of the day. You're not going to say that. So therefore, Mephoshim talk about that maybe it's a Torah Sofer, maybe it's a mistake in the printed text of Rashi, maybe instead of 6 parsois, it's supposed to be 1/6 of a parsa, or maybe 2 parsois, whatever, so it's a lot closer. But whatever it is, So it's fairly close. So we call the Tanakhama Savahani Latzorech. Evidently, then, the Tanakhama would hold that if you're carrying a get from Kfar Ludim to Lud, you'd not need to say B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechta.
Because
obviously, if Rabbi Eliezer has to add them, or Rabbi Gamliel has to add Rekim and Cheger, obviously the Tanakhama doesn't hold, you have to have them. So, my love, B'hokam Mifligi. So, should we say that is the exact same machlokus between Rabba and Rabba? Demar Sovel, Fishen, B'ki, and Mishma. The one way of looking at it is the problem is that outside Eretz Yisrael they're not Baki Lishma. The Hani Gmiri, so the Tanakhama will figure the cities that are close to Eretz Yisrael, let alone the cities that are Muvla in Eretz Yisrael, even though, yes, they're outside the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, they're close enough that they're going to know the halachic. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would argue no. If they're not smuchos, if they're smuchos but not mavois, then not. And Rabbi Eliezer would say even if they're mavois, if they're outside the borders, and they're outside the borders. So okay, according to, it would come out then that the Tanakhama the Hani community, so these people in these outside, in these outlying areas do know the halachas. So therefore, in other words, the Tanakhama would be saying like Rabbah. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer would say, you know what, okay, maybe they are familiar with the halachas, fine, but there's not commonly people traveling between there and Eretz Yisrael proper, therefore you're going to have problems with validating the signatures. And then from Rechem and Cheger, or from Kfar Ludim to Lud, you're not going to have enough people traveling, and therefore you still have that problem. So it would come out then that the Tanakhama holds like Rabbah, and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer hold like Rabbah. The answer is no. Rabba Mataris the Taimei, but Rabba Mataris the Taimei. No, both Rabba and Rabba are able to explain both Tanoim and the Mishnah according to their respective opinions. Rabba Mataris the Taimei. Rabba would explain as follows. The Chula Am Lefishen B'ki in Lishma. Everyone will agree that outside Eretz Yisrael they're not Baki in the Din of Lishma. And therefore you need to say B'fananechta. The use of the Macholikus is as follows. Tanakama Sover, Hani, Kivin, Dismuchos, Migmag, Miri. The Tanakama figures. These cities, Rechem, Cheger, Kfar Ludim, which are close to Eretz Yisrael, they're close enough that people will have learned the halachas. But also, Rav Gamliel, the member of Voice Community, Smuchas Leigmir, Rav Gamliel, this is what I was saying before, as I said it too early, basically, that Rav Gamliel would say that no, the cities that are within a curved border, fine, they're close enough that they're surrounded with Eretz Yisrael on all sides. All the people surrounding them know the halachas, they're going to know them also. As opposed to the ones that are just by a straight line border and they're right outside the border, that not. Because we would assume that if it's on a straight line border, not necessarily. I mean, so they could be learning from the people in one. They could go west and then learn from these guys, but they could also go north.
If people travel back.
If it's a pincer, it's not so much people. Yeah, more people travel. Yeah, basically, yeah, people. Yeah. But also Rabbi Eliezer, and then Rabbi Eliezer comes and says, no, Mevlois Nami Loi. No, even if the Mevlois is still going to require you to say Bufananechtem, true, maybe they do know the actual dinim, but Shalai Tachlech B'Midinat Yam. You don't want us to start making distinctions within Midinat Yam. It'll get confusing. Like this, you just say within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, that's a clear state. Anything outside of that is no. Especially in the Mephoshim, say, Kfar Ludim is a small place, you're not going to make an exception just for that kind of place.
So in other words,
Rabbi would say that everyone agrees that you have to say b'fananechtem if you're bringing a get from a place where they're not baki in lishma, or according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, even in a place which maybe they are baki lishma, but because it's outside Eretz Yisrael, and most of outside Eretz Yisrael are not baki lishma, therefore we're not going to make an exception for them.
We don't say because people will be confused.
That's the point. People will be confused. If you say that Kfar Ludim is going to be an exception, even though it's outside Eretz Yisrael, people are going to get me confused. They're going to think the same way Rechem, the same way Cheger, the same way Iraq, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So that's Rabba. Rava Mataris Tanei, and then Rava can explain all the shittas according to his opinion. Everybody would agree the problem with a get from Medina Sayyam is there's no Adim to validate it. But Tanakama, so let's say Tanakama will figure, Hani Kivin Dismuchos Mishkach Shechi, since these cities, Rechem, Cheger, Kaludim, are close to Eretz Yisrael, enough people travel back and forth, not like Rabbah is saying to learn the dinim, but just to be able to validate the signatures. Rav Gamliel would say that if it's a straight line border, then no, not necessarily do people travel back and forth enough, because there's no reason. People from here might just as well travel here or here or here. Whereas if it's smuchos, if it's mavlois, if it's like this, then yeah, inevitably they're going to get into Eretz Yisrael. But also, Rabbi Eliezer, well, then mavlois nami lo shalai tachlech b'midinat hayam. And again, Rabbi Eliezer would say, yes, even Kfar Ludim, even though it's surrounded by Eretz Yisrael on three sides, still, again, you're not going to start making distinctions in the Nesiyam. It would get too confusing. So you can't say that the machlokas in the Mishnah is the same machlokas of Rabbah and Rabbah, because we can understand that they're two separate machlokas. There's different reasons that we can give for what Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer are saying. Okay, so now let's continue the Mishnah. Let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. The Chachamim, we'll call them Rabban and Basroi on Amud Beis. This is the second set of Chachamim. You had the Tanakama, you had Rav Gamliel, Rav Eliezer, and then you have the Chachamim. So the Chachamim say that when do you need to say b'fananechtem? Ela ha'mevim b'mdinat yam, only if you bring the get from b'mdinat yam, v'hamloylech, as well as if you're taking from Eretz Yisrael to Medinat Hayam. Now, the Tanakhama didn't say anything about that. The Tanakhama said Hamevi, which implied Mevi means bringing. The Tanaim of the Mishnah lived in Eretz Yisrael. So from their point of view, when you're bringing a get, when a get is coming from Chuvah to Eretz Yisrael, you're bringing it in. Taking it out of the country would be called Moilich, that you're transporting it from here or someplace else. The Chachamim mentioned Moilich. Mikval, which implies the Tanakhama saw a Moilich like Tzarech. The Tanakhama evidently holds that in the case of Moilich, where the get was written in Eretz Yisrael and is being taken to be delivered in Chutzar, then you don't need to find an Echter or find an Echter. Now, my law, the Chokham Yisrael, so can't we say that in a Baxim Acholikis between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim? The Mar saw the Lefishen Bukhi in Lishma. The Tanakhama would hold the problem is that they're not Bukhi in Lishma. In Chutzar, the Hani community, you know, it's Yisrael, they know full well about the Shema. Therefore, if you're taking a get your Merlich from Eretz Yisrael, the Chutzar, no need to summer fun and after the fun and after. And we know that it was done, Kalacha, in Eretz Yisrael. Umar Sabal, if you say Nedim Mitzuy in the Kaimer, whereas the Chachamim would say that the problem is because you don't have Adim to validate it, the Hani Namalashkhiti. And the same way as you don't have enough people going from Chutzlar to Eretz Yisrael, the same way you don't have enough people going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlar, therefore you're not going to be able to find Adim to validate it in case the husband starts being Ma'arif. So it would come out then, the Tanakhama holds like Rabba, and the Chachamim hold like Rabba. And again, the answer is, you know, Rabba Matarit Batame, but Rabba Matarit Batame. No, we can say that both Rabba and Rabba are able to understand the opinions of Tanakhama and of Chachamim, each according to their respective understanding of the problem. Rabba Matarit Batame, the Chulam Lefishen Bikim Lishma. Everybody really agrees that the problem with a get from Medina Fayam is that they don't know Lishma. So the machloikis between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim would be, do we make a gzera that bringing is too easily confused with taking? If you're going to say that a get coming from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlaret does not need the funding after the funding after, people are going to make the mistake of thinking the same way if it comes from Chutzlaret to Eretz Yisrael it also doesn't need, and there it does because they don't know the Shema. So therefore, the Tanakhama Savalog does win in Moilachotu maybe. So the Tanakhama would hold there's no reason to make such a Gzeira. The Rabbanan Basroi Savarin Gazin in Moilachotu maybe, whereas the Rabbanan Basroi, the Chachamim, would hold that there is need for such a Gzeira. But they all agree the problem would really be the Shema. Essentially, you shouldn't need the Fanan Yechta, the Fanan Yechta, for a get from Israel. But the Chachamim hold that if you don't require it there, then people are going to think you don't require it in the other case either. The Rava Mataris Tame. Rava can explain all the opinions in the Mishnah according to his understanding also. The Kol Amal Fishein Edim Mitzuy in the Tame. Everybody agrees the problem with a guest from the Dinas Yam is there's no Edim to validate it. The Rabbanan Basroi, the Farushi Tame, the Tanakhama would also. So we could say, very simple, the Rabbanan Basroi, the Chachamim are not arguing with the Tanakhama, they're just explaining. When the Tanakhama had said, maybe get from the Dinas Yam, you should know it also includes Hamolus from the Dinas Yam. But it doesn't include the border. Doesn't include the border cities necessarily. It doesn't include the Mavlois, the Smokhois, whatever. That's what they're explaining. They're saying that it's not a separate opinion. The Tanakhama might also agree that Moilich requires it. He just didn't say so. He said maybe, and you're meant to understand from that Moilich as well, because you're going to have the same problem. Ein Edim, Mitzuyin L'Kaima, which would apply equally well whichever direction it's going in.
Wait, L'Kaima itself.
No, if it comes from Eretz Yisrael, the Chutzlaret, you can't be Mekayimen in Chutzlaret, because who in Chutzlaret is going to recognize these Eretz Yisrael because people's signatures?
Both ends.
Yeah. Okay, like Mar said, Tznan. Let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. Maybe get Medina Sayyam, that if somebody brings a get from one country to another within Medina Sayyam, Sarach Lam Rufan Nechtem Rufan Nechtem, which implies Haba Oisa Medina Medina Sayyam Lo Tzarech, which would imply that if you're bringing it within the same country in Medina Sayyam, you don't need Bufana Nechtem, Bufana Nechtem. How does that work, according to Rabba and Rabba, respectively? Le Rabba Nicha. According to Rabba, it makes sense. What's the problem with a get from Medina Sayyam, no aid in Mitzuyin L'Kaimer? If it's all within the same country, you always have people traveling within the same country. Therefore, it's easy to find aid in Mitzuyin L'Kaimer. Only from Medina to Medina is there a problem. L'Rabba Kasha, according to Rabba, if the problem is they don't know Lishma, what's the difference whether it's in the same country or two different countries? Either way, the problem is outside Eretz Yisrael, they don't know Lishma. The answer is Lo Tema, Hava Oisim, Abdinim, 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 Lo Tzarech. Rabba would say you're misunderstanding what the Mishnah is trying to imply. It's not trying to imply that if you take it within the same country in Chutz La'aretz, you don't need. Ela Ema, Abdinim, 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 all it's doing is it's saying when you're taking it from one country to another in chutzlah. In other words, the Mishnah is saying from Medina to Medina in chutzlah. So you're assuming that the Mishnah means from Medina to Medina. You're assuming in the question that the Mishnah means from Medina to Medina in Chutzlaret as opposed to within the same Medina in Chutzlaret, keeping Chutzlaret the same and changing whether you're talking about Medina or Medina or one Medina. No, what it's trying to do is as opposed to Medina, Eretz Yisrael, that if you're taking from one state, from one country to another within Eretz Yisrael, that you don't need. Why? Because everybody in Eretz Yisrael knows the Shema. Question is why you don't need that. The Mishnah clearly says that maybe get married to Israel and it's a Rabbanim. You don't need the Mishnah to be implying that you don't need the Mishnah to be implying that if it's from one Medina to another in Eretz Israel you don't need. The Mishnah said straight out, any place in Eretz Israel you don't need. The answer is meaning in other words, if the Mishnah is saying that if you're taking it from Medina to Medina, Medina to Yam, you do need, if it's trying to imply that something else is not needed, it has to be, what is the something else? But also Medina to Medina to Yam. And you're back to the question on Abba. Because according to Abba, within the same Medina, they still don't know about Lishma, and then you need him to certify that, yeah. The answer is, Imahi, yes, but if we only have the statement in the Mishnah, maybe get Beret Yisrael, Hava Amin Hanim the Di'eved. Then you would think, but the Eved, in Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to make him say, we're not going to make him say, we're not going to pass all the get just because it wasn't written in his presence. Right. Maybe we should tell him that he should be there when the get is being written and when it's being signed, even within Eretz Yisrael, because it's two different beginners. Kamash Kalon, that's why the Mishnah has to tell us that. If you bring the get from Medina to Medina and Medina to Yam, you do need to say. Implying, but if you bring it from Medina to Medina and Eretz Yisrael, you do not need to say. Not you should have said it, but if you don't, we'll let it fly. You don't need to. You don't need to be there with Chila and be in a position of being able to say b'fan nechta, b'fan nechta.
Regardless.
So that would be what the Mishnah is trying to imply. Okay. Another version of the question from the Mishnah goes as follows. Let's try the diuk the other way around. First we said that we're assuming that, we have two different variables that we can change over here, whether we're talking within one Medina or within two different Medinas, and whether we're talking in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutzlaret. So before we assumed that we started with the assumption the Mishnah is trying to exclude Medina in the same Medina and Chutzlaret, and that's what we brought the question on Rabbah. We ended up explaining the Mishnah the other way around. Now the Gemara is going to flip that possibility around and try the other way and then see how that works. Let's assume that the Mishnah, by saying that if you bring it from Medina to Medina in Chutz La'aretz, you have to say, implies that from Medina to Medina in Eretz Yisrael, you don't need. So, L'Rabba Nicha, L'Rabba Kasha. Now, it's the other way around. If we assume the Mishnah is saying that, it works out very nicely according to Rabba. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows L'Shma, therefore you don't need B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechta, they're not the same area in Eretz Yisrael, different areas, Yorda, Galil, whatever. If we assume, as we did at the beginning of the sugya, that people don't commonly travel from Yehuda to Galil and vice versa, then according to Rava, why if you're taking from Medina to Medina and Eretz Yisrael, why should he not need to say b'fanenechtem? And the answer is again, don't say the Mishnah is trying to exclude from one country to another in Eretz Yisrael. It just means that within the same country, Medina Siyam, you're not going to need, because you'll find agents validated, because people travel around within the same country. Okay. But the question then becomes, so what, you're going to tell me then that if you're bringing it from one part of Eretz Yisrael to another, according to Rava, you do need to say b'fananechtem, because there's no shayaris? In that case, then according to Rava, let the Mishnah just say if you bring it from one country to another, doesn't matter Eretz Yisrael or Chutzlaret, because according to Rava, there's no real reason why Eretz Yisrael is more privileged over Chutzlaret. It's only if you're talking international, that's when you have the issue of aging. But if you talk, wherever the two Medinas are, regardless of Eretz Yisrael or Chutzlaret, you're going to have the same issues. So according to Rava, why should the Mishnah tell us that if you bring it from Medina to Medina and Chutzlaret, you have to say, implying, but in Eretz Yisrael you don't? The reason should apply in both cases. But the Mishnah just say straight out, Medina to Medina, period. And you'll understand. It means in Chutzlaret or in Eretz Yisrael. The answer is, you know what? You can actually say, according to Rava, you don't need to say b'fananechtem if you take it from the Galil to Yehuda, or vice versa. Why? Because you have many people who are oyle l'regel, people come from all over out to Israel to the Olam Gadol. Therefore, for all the Shalosh Gadolim, therefore, there are plenty of people always around. It'll be easy enough to find people who came from that area.
Wait a minute, they come from the north to Yerushalayim and the south to Yerushalayim, but they don't come from the north to the south.
No, but the point is, because you have people traveling around enough, therefore you're going to have people, when they come from the Galil, they don't just come for one day and then they leave, they stay for a while, they stick around in Yerushalayim for a while, they see people signing on documents or whatever, they get familiar with Yerushalayim's signature, with local signatures. And therefore, wherever it is in Eretz Yisrael, you'll be able to get people. Interesting thing, Mephoshim point out, based on this, it comes out, it you could argue then that the Gemara is saying that from Chutzlaris they don't come on Aliyah Regal. Now there's a Tosfos in Pesachim that says that in fact people from Chutzlaris are not chayav in Aliyah Regal. And everybody has a hard time saying where does Tosfos get that from? We don't find any such proof. Some Mephoshim say they get it. Tosfos says in Pesachim that says that people who live in Chutzlaris are not chayav in Aliyah Regal.
Right.
They don't have the mitzvah of Sholosh Regalim Bashana to go to where the Tosfos get that from. Everybody has a question. Some say they get it from here, because the implication is here that Bnei Eretz Yisrael go on the other day, go Bnei Chutz La'aretz don't. Other Mepharshim counter that it's not such a raya, because you could say that maybe people from Chutz La'aretz do have the obligation to, but the fact of the matter is most of them don't. Whatever. Anyway.
So what's the conclusion? They do?
So the Tosfos says they don't. So the question still remains, well, I mean, yeah, it's Hokus Ol, I mean, right now it's not. Not in the game, but yeah.
When the Mishnah
is built, then the Sanhedrin will sit down and then decide that.
Yeah, but at the time, they had or not?
So Tosfos brings it from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira stayed home in the Tivin for Pesach and didn't go in the famous story of the Goy who pretended to be a Yid and went and ate from the Karden Pesach. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira himself go to Yerushalayim and unmask him? Because he lived in Chutzlaretz and he didn't have the requirement to. Okay, the question is, Tenech Bezman Shein Bezman Tishkayim, fine, that works out when the Bezman Tish is standing. Bezman Shein Bezman Tishkayim, Ma'ikol Neymar, what about when the Bezman Tish is destroyed, you don't have Olu Regal anymore? Which, by the way, there are a number of Rishonim and Achronim who talk about that maybe there is, the Yidden did continue, there's Medrash that mentions that Yidden still continued on Olu Regal long after the Korban. They still used to come to Yerushalayim, to wherever they could get to, as close as they could to Yerushalayim, even nowadays, if people go to the Kotel. But all of us have been to the Kotel one time or another, I think. But for the rebellion. But still, it's not as common as The answer is given the ikka batidin in the kvi. True, but there are established batidin in all the cities. You have an established thing that the batidin sit on Mondays and Thursdays. Mishkach shlichi. So even then, you're going to have people have to travel to the batidin from the towns. So therefore, you're still going to have there's enough traffic around from one part of Eretz Yisrael to another that you'll be able to find Adam to validate the signature, is according to Rava. So therefore, according to Rava, yes, the Mishnah will be telling us that if you're taking it from anywhere within Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say we're finding Nefem, because anywhere within Eretz Yisrael, there's not your Beis Mikdash Kayam, you'll have Olu Regel. After the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, you'll have people traveling to the Bat Yedinim, and therefore there's always enough traffic within Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, no need to say we're finding Nefem. Whereas if you're dealing with two different countries in Chutz La'aretz, then it's not the same. Or if you're dealing with between a country in Chutz La'aretz and a country in Eretz Yisrael, in either direction, then you'd have a problem. If it's within one country in Chutz La'aretz, no problem, because, again, people travel around enough.
It's
summer? Yeah, it's 9:30 now, yeah.
Something you
told me about my claim,
Marie.
No, I am.
Oh.
Simon, I'm not going to stop now.
We don't.